the promo for the All-Star Game, Nathan MacKinnon and his Patrick Swayze look-alike contest, man, he got it down, didn't he?
Yeah, how fantastic is that? The NHL, of course, is in Tampa, Florida for the All-Star Game this year. And I don't even know if there's any surfing in Tampa, but they've got a Point Break beach thing. And so they superimposed MacKinnon's face over the face of Patrick Swayze in the Point Break ad. And then they put the Nikita Kucherov's face on Keanu Reeves. And man, I swear, if he doesn't look like Patrick Swayze, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was terrific. And maybe I'll talk to him tomorrow morning over at the morning skate and figure out if he's going to grow his hair like that. You know, maybe get it out like that and just see if he can continue on with that kind of thing.
Well, the nice thing this year is with the cold they've had in the Midwest and down south, those southern franchises don't have to worry about the ice getting soft in their arenas.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It seems like everywhere we go, the ice is in good shape. You know, I tell you what's funny about that, too, is the NHL. There was talk about, you know, is the ice good? Is it bad? And so on. Every single building we go into now is absolutely freezing. They turned the air conditioners down to full-on penguin. So everywhere we go, I've got to wear my coat. I'm cold. I bring gloves along just in case. But, yeah, it's kind of funny. The weather's been chilly all over the place. We were in Montreal last night. Freezing snow, freezing rain. I mean, just absolutely freezing. So it's one of those things where, hey, listen, it's hot weather, I suppose. It'd be asking to get some warmer weather in April and beyond. I think all Avalanche fans will be happy with that.
Mark Mosier joining us, voice of the Colorado Avalanche, also 950 altitude 950 radio down in Denver. So I was reading somewhere, I can't remember exactly where I was reading this, Mark, but I saw where the Avs, I think, were the second team ever to be the worst team in the NHL the year before and then have a 10-game winning streak the next year. Is that, am I reading that correctly? I thought I read that somewhere.
Yeah, they're the second team in the history of the league to be the worst team the year before and then have a double-digit win streak. The Montreal Canadiens, I think, did it back in 1927, if I'm not mistaken. And it's just, in today's day and age of the National Hockey League, it's just so hard to get double-digit win streaks going because, I mean, on any given night, you can run into a fantastic goalie. You can just run into trouble. The puck, I mean, guys, I've seen the puck do so many crazy things over the years, and you just never know, you know, what's going to happen on any given night. But the cool part about what the Avs have been doing is they've been playing their game, they've been playing smart hockey, they've been playing disciplined hockey, they've been doing the right things, and they've been selling out, working really hard, and they're getting rewarded for it. And the more you do that, the more that you get rewarded for it, the guys buy in, they understand, they believe, and they believe when they go to the rink, that if they play their game, they can be as good as anybody in the NHL. Listen, coming off a 48-point season last year, the worst by far in the National Hockey League. You know, the team wasn't that bad. There's a lot of circumstances that went into that. But coming off a year like that, to have a 10-game win streak, to be right in the playoff mix this year, Avalanche fans love the progress. They love what they're seeing. So it gives them a lot of reason to believe that the future is very bright.
So speaking of the fans, listen, I think we can all remember, several years ago when the Avs were in contention, not for playoffs, but for Stanley Cups, and it was just a frenzy down there in Denver with Colorado Avalanche. So in the midst of this 10-game winning streak, but prior to that, it was kind of, you know, ho-hum, here we go. Are the fans buying in right now, or is it going to take a little bit more for them to buy in and get back the excitement that was once there?
It certainly feels like, when you look at the games during the win streak on the home ice, the fans were packing the building. In fact, the last home game, last Saturday against the New York Rangers, was standing room only. I mean, that place was absolutely jam-packed. And I think part of the deal is where the Avs come off a 48-point season. And I wish the Broncos had done more of this in their 5-11 year. I wish they had said a little bit different things. But Joe Sakic came out, and he said, listen, what we've been doing has not been working. We screwed up. We're sorry. We messed up. We're going to take this team in a different direction. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go younger. We're going to go faster. We're going to draft well. We are going to develop our players. And we are going to become a club that's not only in contention for 1 year for the playoffs, but the Avs truly want to be a club that's there year after year after year. Now, what the Avs were in the late 1990s and in the 2000s, a dominant hockey club with the invention of the salary cap. You just can't have that year in and year out anymore, really. I mean, teams that do that are fortunate. I mean, the Penguins have won back-to-back Stanley Cups. You know, the Chicago's won 3. That's all well and good, but the sustainability is very difficult because you have a salary cap. You can't just pay everybody and have a high salary. So The Avs want to make it a sustained thing year after year. So they're drafting smart. They've got good players in the pipeline. And I think, honestly, to answer your question, when the fans see, when you come out with a proclamation, this is what we're going to do, and then they see the fruits of that labor and the rewards already start to happen. You trade Matt Duchene, you get a huge haul. If you're Joe Sakic, you did a great job. Some of those players are already in, including Sam Girard, of course, who's been terrific as a youngster on the blue line at 19 years of age. The fans see that what you said was true. You're not trying to snow them. You're not trying to job them. You're making a concerted effort to follow through with your plan. And so it makes it much more palatable. And I know the place to go through growing pains, and fans get impatient. But when they can see what hasn't been working is going to be changed, they appreciate that, and the fans have been great. They've been very, very supportive coming back to that building.
It's interesting. You bring up that comparison with the way the Avs did this and with the Broncos, and you could throw in maybe the Rockies with what Jeff Friedrich has done in trying to build that franchise and doing it that way, where the fans are getting excited as well. We all know Denver will always be a Broncos town, but I kind of like what your station does down there at 950, where you're not just solely Broncos. You're bringing everybody out of there, and you're seeing some of the excitement for some of those other franchises, the professional franchises down there.
Yeah, for sure. I like the fact that the fans are gravitating back. Now, listen, I think you need to get into the postseason. I think that anytime you get into the playoffs, sorry for the Denver Nuggets this year, I think they have to get into the playoffs, and they've got to do something and reward that fan base. I would love to see them do that. But I think that once you get in and fans get that excitement back, guys, I was there in the glory days for the Colorado Avalanche, and it was so exciting year after year after year. It was maybe the hottest ticket in town. I mean, the Avs on the record for consecutive sellouts is almost 500. And so it was very exciting every single time you went in the building. It was a must-see situation. Fans had to have those tickets. And Jared Bednar, the head coach of the Avalanche, just came on out and said, you know what, we've got to earn our fans' trust back. We've got to play the way. And Gabe Landeskog, the captain, said the same thing. We've got to earn the fans' trust. We've got to play the way we can. And we've got to encourage them, to come back and see us. We've got to do things to make them want to see us. And so it's a great attitude to have. It really is. And regardless of the Broncos, I've not always said a lot of right things in his season and in his conference. He talked about giving Vance Joseph more tools to be competitive and so on. I wish he had said, you know what, we screwed up on the quarterbacks. I think we all knew that going into the season last year, that those guys weren't the answer. But nonetheless, the Broncos, while they didn't really have a game plan, they know what they need to do, so we'll see if they come through. The Avs definitely laid out their game plan. Now, while you can't give the fans everything in terms of how the sausage is made, you can give them enough when they can have, if I feel like they have a piece of it, they have an understanding of it, a little inside joke, if you will, and they can buy into that. So that's a good thing. The fans are really responding to that.
Mark Mosier, our guest, voice of the Colorado Avalanche. How, I don't want to say easy, does it make it, but when you have young guys, and you said build around young guys, but a guy like Nathan MacKinnon, who does the things that he does, Gabe Landeskog, all those guys, does it make it easier to build around that kind of talent?
No doubt about it, yeah. Nathan MacKinnon has been explosive this year. He's always been explosive. But his game is really routing. Yeah, I had him on my show last year, I did tonight. And he said to me, he said, you know, some guys will come into the league and it'll go great for them right away. And for McKinnon, it did because he utilized his speed. His speed was deadly for him from the get-go when he was an 18-year-old. But what he said to me is he said, you know what, it's taken me longer. And now I get it. I'm starting to get it really good. And I understand what it takes to be successful on a nightly basis. And he was held off the score sheet in Toronto to snap his 9-game score streak. And then last night he scored a goal in Montreal. Now, again, it was not enough for a win, but he scored another goal. It's 24th of the season. So he's starting to really, really get it. And I think that as a franchise, when you have a down year and you draft number one, you hope that guy's going to be that guy. And let's keep in mind, too, he's in his fifth year in the league, which is plenty. But Nathan MacKinnon's still only 22 years old. He won't even be 23 until next September. So he's got a long way to go. He's not even in his prime yet, and I'm just very excited about what could be. And there's a lot of young guys. You know, Mikko Rantanen's on his line. Captain Gabe Landeskog is mid-20s, you know. And so you've got a lot of guys, Tyson Jost and J.T. Confer and Sam Girard and all these different guys. The Avs right now are the second youngest team in the league behind Columbus. I think Columbus is 25.4 years of age on average. The Avs are 25.6 years of age on average. And that's Carl Soderberg, the old man at 32 or 31 is kind of everybody up there. But it's cool, yeah. I mean, when you've got young guys who like to be around each other, who enjoy playing with each other, who are enjoying the process, and that's half the battle for a GM. You know, and you start building great pieces around that, you've got a really good thing cooking for a long time, hopefully.
Couple quick ones, quick fire ones before we let you go, Mark. The Mighty Ducks TV series, are you in or out on that? Something like that?
I am going to play the waiting game on
okay.
that. Because I think, while I'm always in favor of a hockey series, whether it's kids hockey, adults hockey, whatever, and yeah, the Mighty Ducks are special, I just hope they don't screw it up. So I'm for it, but I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude.
Are you in Camp Mayfield or Camp Josh Allen for the Denver Broncos?
Well, since I'm talking to Shy in Wyoming, I have to be in Camp Josh Allen, but I said Denver beat me up. No, you know, I would like either guy on my squad. Two totally different players, obviously. If you're going for the physical skills, I will take Josh Allen all day long. I'd like to see his completion percentage be better. That's my only concern. As far as Baker Mayfield is concerned, you know, that guy, to me, he's got that attitude, and he's a winner. I'll say right now, for Cheyenne, Wyoming, Josh Allen all the way.
Look at you, man. Playing it up, man. That's awesome. There you go.
Know your audience, right?
The bad part is Keith is a big OU fan, so you just stuck a dagger in his heart. But that's all right. The rest of us like it.
Here, Mark, I'm a big OU fan and a big Broncos fan to boot, yeah. So that's a tough one right there.
And let me put it this way. Any guy that can play the quarterback position, what I suggested on my show is, I don't care. It's not my football team. I bring in four quarterbacks. If you go along with Chad Kelly, and I let the best guy win, I don't care. Getting a quarterback, getting a quarterback to be your guy, the Broncos cannot afford to miss. So I don't care what it takes. They better find a quarterback, and they better find a quarterback right now. End of story.
There you go. Mark Mosier, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche, at Altitude 950 radio down in Denver. Avs will be at St. Louis tomorrow night. And then it's the All-Star break. Thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate the time, man.
Guys, my pleasure. Anytime. Love Wyoming. Great to talk to you soon.
All right, there you go. There's